strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank you. all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sing again. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed me white as snow.
Hi, this is Todd Fields with Worship Circle. I want to thank you for watching the live recording from our rest retreat. This thing we do call Worship Circle is for you as a worship leader. We know that ministry can be taxing on you and your family, and oftentimes we need a place to jump into to be known, to be loved on, and be cared for. Our groups are open now. You can apply at worshipcircle.com/program. You can get more information there. And we'd love for you to pray about it and apply. Your application is not a commitment. It's just a chance for us to see you do what you do, where God has you planted right now. But we want you to know that you're loved and not alone. That's our purpose. And that we're with you, even though we can't see you, all around the world, one army of worshipers for the kingdom of God in our lifetime, joining heaven and earth. We care about you. We're here for you. Apply now at worshipcircle.com/program.
I gotta tell you, folks, I feel like we're winning. I feel like we're winning the spiritual battle. I feel like every single day we are making massive strides towards exposing the darkness and shining a light everywhere. More and more people today are coming to Christ that I never would have thought would even be open to hearing about the gospel. But as you get older, and as you go from a liberal to a conservative, which I think all of us can say, yeah, we probably did that in our lives. As you get older and you start prioritizing things, and you hear the gospel at an older age, it's different than when you hear it as a youngster, because everything means so much more. And almost like people don't really know about the invasion at the southern border until it hits them right on their doorstep. Same thing with the gospel. What's that old saying? Show me an atheist, and I'll put him in a foxhole, and you'll see how fast he believes in God. Everybody, when they get pushed to a certain point, reaches out to God because God is generally their last resort. I want God to be my first priority. I don't want God to be my last resort. I want God to be in the forefront of my mind when I wake up. I want him to be at the forefront of my mind when I set off on my daily journey. And I want him to be at the forefront of my mind when I go to sleep at night. Because it's the only way that I can go through life and feel joyful, happy, successful, forgiven, guided. Like, I could never in my life go back to having God as a last resort. It would just cripple me. And I know that a lot of you probably feel the same thing. I want to welcome everybody to rumble.com/LFA TV. This is our kickoff show of the day. We used to have a show before this one, and we may again. But as far as I'm concerned, my day needs to start with this. Not politics, not finances, the gospel and the spiritual battle that we find ourselves in daily. That's my priority now. And I know that you guys joining here today, every day, that this is also your priority as well. I can see Jay Mathis, RN, the Lord is my priority. Danes X2 says, I have Christian music playing all day and worship music. Rosebud said, I don't ever want God to be my 9/11 cosmic genie. Oh my gosh, what a statement that is. Kitten 1948 says, I totally agree. Redneck says, when I wake up in the morning, I go to Julie Green and then rise up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God is planning something with me, with Julie, with Chris. We're almost completely settled in. I'm a type of person that needs to make sure that one major project is done before another journey begins. And we're almost done at the house. We've got a lot to do here to get ready to bring the store back. But on God's time, and when we get settled in and ready to go out and meet people and go out to dinner with people and praise God with people, that time will come. And I have to tell you, folks, I haven't known Chris and Julie for a long time, and I've never physically met them. But spiritually, I already know how that's going to go. Now, today's show is titled Spiritually Adopted. Now, I want to read through the description of today's show while you guys are signing in, while you guys are making sure that your little thumbs up is all green and we're ready to go. If I had one wish in the world, it would be that every single buddy, well, maybe not, it probably wouldn't be this, but if I had a wish, Kittenhead, this is the new studio. This is the new studio in Iowa. But I wish everybody that watched would sign in and have a profile. That would be awesome. Then I could see more people that I've probably never even seen in the chat. River Rat, Jesus won the battle for us. That's exactly right. And we're playing out what Jesus already knows is going to happen. And I'm proud to be a part of it. Very proud to be a part of it. I'm in the Quad Cities of Iowa. So there's four cities on each side of the Mississippi, and that's where we live. Now, we're going to have a new post office box here very soon, but a lot of things needed to happen here to get us settled. Now we got to go get our licenses here. We got to get our cars registered here. We got to get car insurance in this state. We got to go register to vote. We got to do the post office box. We got to do all that stuff now. And, you know, we've been here now not even 2 weeks, week and a half. And we're plugging right along, folks. We almost didn't even skip a beat. Praise God. Let me read for you the title of today's show. And by the way, check your newsletters. Got back into the newsletter. Sent it all out. Rise Up, episode number 369. Are you or do you know anyone who has been adopted? Maybe you even have your own children that you adopted. Have you ever rescued an animal from the pound or from animal control? Imagine the excitement on a little dog's face being able to go home with a family that will care for him or her. Today we're going to dive deep into Ephesians to understand spiritual adoption. Please join me live and help me share the gospel, not gossip, today. So those out there, Alan, Carol, Morris, how you doing? Mwah. Good to see you. Those families out there who have gone the right route of adoption, or those families out there who, or those people, those individuals out there who have been adopted, you know what I mean. Having babies is a blessing. Being able to be in a position to adopt, or being the person that is being adopted, is an entirely different experience. Because when you have a baby, God has already predestined who that child is going to be. And God plucked them from heaven, gave them a body, and literally created them in the mother's womb. But when you adopt, you are choosing, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to go and pick this specific child. Now, God ordains it, but it is your choice ultimately to adopt or who to adopt. Look at that. My sister was adopted from South Korea. Well, I have a lot of family members who were adopted. And I got to tell you, that bond between an adopted child and an adopted family, it's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing. My wife and I are actually talking about it as well. Now, I'm going through some stuff right now as a father. I don't have any adopted children or anything like that. But I'm going through a thing right now where my daughter, who's been so close to me, she's getting ready to go back to New Hampshire in a week and a half. And I feel like I'm losing a physical, an emotional part of me. But much like it is with you guys, I am spiritually connected with you. Because we are all spiritually adopted. And so, as we're going through this, I was thinking about the people out there that don't know the gospel. The people out there that have not heard the gospel. The people out there that are hopeless, joyless. And it breaks my heart for those people. And I'm talking about the people out there that are living apart from God, not with God. They are choosing to live apart from God. Or maybe they've never had anybody take them by the hand, like Obama did to Biden yesterday, and guide them, or the other day, and guide them to the gospel. And I started thinking about puppies and kittens in the pound. I don't know why I started thinking about that, but that's what I started thinking about. Because if you adopt a child, a lot of the times it's a baby. Most of the time, not all the time. Sometimes you adopt children that are already older and I'm sure they're scared and curious, and I'm sure they're happy to have somebody adopt them. I'm sure they are. But there's got to be some kind of scary thoughts or concerns. Are these people going to treat me well, or if they're older already? But when you're talking about a puppy or a kitten, you think you watch all these movies where like they long to have a family come and adopt them. I do believe that is the way it is. Like you've gone into a pound before, right? Back when pounds were a thing, you don't see much of them anymore. But back when pounds were a thing, when I was a kid, you'd go in and the dogs would look so sad. And you would hear that Sarah McLachlan song. I think it was Sarah McLachlan, whoever it was. In the arms of an angel, far away from me. Like, that's what you would hear. And you would just get this, you know, thought in your mind that this dog right here, this specific dog, was meant for me. And you take him home and that dog feels loved and cared for. And it gets fed. And it gets hugged, and it gets smuggled, and it gets snuggled in bed. And it's the greatest thing that ever happened to that puppy. Well, what about those out there who don't have any hope because they don't know that God has spiritually adopted them already? Pounds are still a thing? Okay, good. I mean, not good. I mean, but I didn't know that. But you see those dogs on those commercials, right? And they look like this. Now think of a person who's apart from God. Think of the anxiety, the stress levels, the fear, the hopelessness, the unhappiness. Those people out there that are always, well, yeah, here we go, just my luck. That's my luck. But we need to bring the gospel to these people because we need to let them know that they're already spiritually adopted. You just have to embrace it. It's like taking the dog home and the dog just sitting there, still sad, still poor, not embracing the new owner because maybe they were abused their whole lives or something. But if they just let that love come in, everything changes. So today, I want to start off here with a prayer. We didn't get into prayer because we've been talking so much. I want to pray right now. I'd like you guys to continue to share and rumble the video if you haven't. And then we're going to get into Ephesians, the verse of the day that I sent all of you. Please check your emails. And if you have not signed up for the email list, you might want to because it's about to ramp up. We're about to bring more people into the email list. We're about to do more things with the email list, giveaways, behind the scenes stuff, all of it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into it, okay? Lord and Heavenly Father, knowing that you created us before you formed the earth, that you were the one that wove us in our mother's womb, that you had plans for us far before the earth was even created, lets me know the purpose that you have for me is divine. The purpose that you have for me is righteous. The purpose that you have for me will help others feel like they've been adopted into a spiritual family that will never let them go. Lord, I want to thank you for bringing me through the trenches. I want to thank you, Lord, for feeling like I've had to journey to hell and back multiple times. To stand here firm, strong today in my faith, knowing that if I can be adopted, if I can be that poor, lost, sad, hopeless soul in a pound, and Jesus came in and he could have picked any other person but me, and he picked me and made me feel special, Lord, that is such a great feeling that I want to give to others now. And I am so thankful to stand here today, the man that you have made me, with the family that you have given to me, and the blessings of this network, this show, and the ability to spread and share the gospel with tens of thousands of people whom I've never physically met. What a blessing. Lord, today, help us be spiritual adopted souls. Let's work today to put ourselves in a position on your timing, at your will, Lord, to be those spiritual parents that go out and adopt lost and hopeless souls, to give them grace, to give them love, to show them that they're not looked down on, that they're not hated. No matter what they do, no matter the lifestyle they live, Jesus cleanses all. Jesus makes all wrongs right and makes people feel welcomed. Thank you for this message, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1,200 people watching right now. I want to ask you, do you remember when Jesus walked in and plucked you from the pound? Do you remember when Jesus came in and picked you up and brought you in for the first time in your life? What did that feel like? You can't even explain it. It's one of those things that somebody has to go through to really understand it, but you remember, don't you? I do. I remember it so vividly that if I start talking about it, I feel just uplifted. I feel somewhat like I did on that day. Unconditional love. People who adopt River Rat said have unconditional love. What is unconditional love? Unconditional love is, I love you no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, no matter what you've done, I love you. I'm going to get back to that in a second. My daughter wrote me a Father's Day card. My daughter that's leaving. All my kids are great. They all wrote me something for Father's Day. It was really nice. My daughter wrote a letter, though, because she's going to be leaving in a week and a half. And her and I have been like peanut butter and jelly. And she said to me, I'm sorry for all the times that I hurt you. She said, it kills me to know that I made you cry and that I hurt you. And I want you to know that it was never my intention. And I want you to know that even though you decided to move out here and we are going, you know, in different paths at the moment, that I will never hate you for that. And I said to my daughter, after I read that and bawled my eyes out, which I'm about ready to do right now, Shaylin, every time you hurt me, I forgave you the second that you did it. Just like my Father in heaven forgives me. That's unconditional love. You don't have to do anything for my love. My love is freely given to you. Now, imagine that feeling. Let's get back to the adoption now. Imagine that feeling that you felt when Jesus embraced you for the first time. Most of the people that you know don't even understand that feeling. No matter how many people have good lives, I can guarantee you if they've never felt Jesus walk into the pound, embrace them, open the cage, set them free, and take them home, then they don't know. They have no clue what living really is. And it is up to us to give them that feeling, or at least to show them the way to get that feeling. It'll be up to them whether they want to receive it or not. But it is up to us to help show them the way to unconditional love. Doesn't everybody deserve unconditional love or the chance at it? And if you say no, everybody doesn't deserve it, then my question would be, then why did God create them? Why are they here? Just because they screw up everything in their lives doesn't mean that there's not a purpose for their life. Doesn't mean that they don't deserve the same feeling that we felt. But again, most of the people you know will never feel that. And a lot of you will say, well, I don't want to push the boundaries. I don't want to overstep. I don't want to cause division between my daughter and myself or my husband and myself because I'm talking about the gospel all the time, or I'm bringing up Jesus all the time, or I'm praying to Father God all the time, or I am spending time with my Holy Spirit, I don't want to rock the boat. Well, guess what? If you don't rock the boat, you will never, ever, ever, ever show these people spiritual adoption. You'll never, because if you don't bring it to them, who's going to? You might be the only person in their lives that can show them that feeling of being adopted, of being stuck behind a cage in a pound, and somebody coming in and go, and it's Jesus, I'll take him. I'll take her. And you may even spend the rest of your life thinking, why would you have picked me? I know I do. Often the devil creeps in a door that I haven't slammed shut, and he says, you're not worthy. God doesn't really love you. And it happens a lot. But sometimes, almost immediately now, actually, I can smirk at that and I can say, nah, if God didn't love me, Satan, then I wouldn't be here. And if God didn't love me, guess what? You wouldn't be trying to tell me that he didn't love me. The mere fact that you're even trying to talk to me, the mere fact that you're trying to get me to believe that God doesn't love me, tells me instinctively and by default I need to go to, of course he does. Why are you talking to me then? Because you certainly don't love me. You can't love. You can only hate. The mere fact that something seeps into you that says you're not worthy, God doesn't love you, you are not adopted, nobody's coming to get you, you're going to stay stuck in this pound forever. That right there, the mere fact that he's even doing that, the mere fact that you even think that, is proof that God loves you and that he wants to adopt you, but you're not letting him do it. Carla says, we didn't think you'd amount to anything. Yeah. Yep. CQ. The Holy Spirit delivers the believer from the bondage of fear. He actually adopts the believer as a son or a child of God. There you go. And now it's time to get to the verse of the day. Please open up your emails if you get a verse of the day. And I'll go ahead and read this for you. Annette, you are 100% correct. 100% correct. I'll give you guys a chance to open up your newsletters. And if you don't have one, I'll give you a chance to go to Ephesians 1, verse 3. Okay? And while you guys are going to Ephesians 1, verse 3, and you're getting there, I'd like to play a 5-minute video or so of Frank Turek. So let's go to this video, and then we'll come back and we'll all read the verse together.
So growing up, I went to a Baptist church, and my pastor always had this phrase at the end of the sermon, you know, if you're not 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, raise your hand, and he'd send out something, you know, about baptism and all those sort of things. But that kind of stuck with me because one of the things that I guess stops me from fully believing is that I don't feel like I have enough faith. I know the Bible talks about doubting. There's the story of doubting Thomas in the Gospel according to John. But I guess at what point or how much faith do you need?
The faith of a mustard seed, says Jesus, right?
Yeah.
You don't need... First of all, let's define what we mean by faith. There's two kinds of faith. There's belief that, And then there's belief in. Belief that is getting evidence that God exists, that Jesus rose from the dead, that the Bible's telling the truth. That's what we've been doing tonight. We've been given evidence, apologetics. But all the belief that in the world won't get your moral transgressions forgiven. For that, you've got to go from belief that to belief in or trust in. And this is true even in relationships, right? There's a difference between belief that and belief in. When I first met my wife almost 39 years ago, I got evidence that she would be a good wife, but all the evidence in the world didn't make her my wife. I had to take a step of trust in her to ask her to be my wife. And in a momentary lapse of judgment, she said yes, okay? That's the difference between belief that and belief in. What we've been doing tonight is just all belief that. For you then to say, I want to go to belief in, all you need to do is to say, Lord, I repent of my sins and I want to accept your free gift of salvation and I want to follow Jesus. In fact, if you go to Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus has been risen from the dead, you will be saved. That's all you need to do. Now, from that point on, now God is going to try and take you from where you are to becoming even more like Jesus. That's the process of sanctification, and that's a lifelong process.
Amen.
So while we're saved by faith alone, our faith is not alone, meaning that we will then want to do good works out of gratitude for what he's done for us. Okay. So if you're having trouble, and I'm kind of this way too, I'm not a very emotional person. I don't read devotions or any of that. You know, I'm not looking for this wow kind of mystical experience. But if you want to get a sense of what God did for you, you go to the Psalms, go read the gospel accounts of what Jesus did on the cross, and I might recommend you watch The Passion of the Christ. Have you ever seen that?
I believe so. Years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's 20 years old now.
Yeah.
But that is a very powerful depiction. Some things can better be seen than read, quite obviously.
Yeah.
And so if you want to get a sense of what he did, go there. But look, none of us have 100% certainty because we're not infinite beings. There's always a possibility we could be wrong. But in order for us to have freedom to either trust in Jesus or to distrust and go our own way, God has to give us some space. This is why C.S. Lewis famously said in the Screwtape Letters, God cannot ravish, he can only woo. In other words, he's going to give you enough evidence so that you know he's there, but he's also going to give you enough distance so you can go your own way if you want to. That's what love does. So what right now is an issue for you? What's preventing you from going from belief that to belief in? Or you still need more belief that?
So I guess part of it is like I'm not sure where to turn to define belief. I don't know. I feel like my faith and my logic are at like seem like sometimes they're at ends with each other. So I guess it's more belief that than belief in. I know. I mean, literally, I wouldn't exist without God, not
right.
In just the literal sense, but also like my mother competed in Bible Bowl growing up. And if it wasn't for her competing in Bible Bowl, she never would have decided to go to Indiana of all places. She never would have met my dad and I never would have existed. So quite literally, I owe my existence to God. But I guess it's just, I'm not sure. And I guess that's just kind of like a problem everyone faces, but I'm not sure why God is and how he works.
Wow,
and
he's working it out right in real time.
How many books have you
read on this? In terms of like from the Bible or?
Yeah, apologetics books.
Oh.
Because you said the issue is more belief that than belief.
Yeah,
that.
So I've read some C.S. Lewis, and I was glad that you referred to him tonight, but he's really, well, I've read... I don't know if you're familiar with Frank Peretti.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I grew up actually on Frank Peretti. I read the Cooper Kids when I was younger. But C.S. Lewis and Frank Peretti, I think, would be the only authors that I've read that are kind of deal with that topic.
All right, well, if I had a book, I'd give it to you, but the university wouldn't let us sell books. So normally I give books away. But check out I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Also go to our YouTube channel, Cross Examine, two words. And also look up other people like John Lennox, William Lane Craig. Those are two of the bigger apologists out there that have great material. There are many others. J. Warner Wallace, Greg Kokel, Elisa Childers, Natasha Crane. These are all people that you can go to for evidence for Christianity. So if that's really the issue, there's enough evidence I think that will enable you to go to belief in. Because there's really no rule, there's really no reason for belief in. That's right. Just your heart. That's just your will. I want it. Yeah. All right?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
So I really love what Frank does. I love what Frank does. I love what Ray does. I even love, like the apologist Cliff Konecki. I always said Netchel, but his actual name is Konecki. I love so many different people for what God has put them on this earth to do. And so many of them have guided me and helped me just by listening to them. And what I really like about Frank is he travels around to churches and to schools and has dialogue and debate in a different way than what Cliff does, and in a very different way than what Ray does, and in a very different way than what I do. I can't wait for my next step in this walk with Jesus. Like, this is great. I love this. But there's more for me to do. And I think that is, I know that is why I was brought to this region of the United States. Out of all the places we could have moved or gone or wherever, I'm here. And I'm here for a reason, but I'm embracing that reason. I'm embracing it. And let's go to the verse of the day now. If you're there, Ephesians 1, verse 3. And we're going to read from verse 3 all the way to verse 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now, I want to stop right there. That's one. That's 3 and 4. Now, that says God created us to be holy and blameless. Well, how are we going to be holy and blameless if we're born into sin and we don't have a chance right from the very beginning? Very simple answer. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your golden ticket. You can't get on the train if you don't have your golden ticket. And that golden ticket is Christ. Even as he chose us in him. He didn't choose us outside of Jesus. He created us with Jesus there. And chose us in or through Christ. So that means we got to come back to him the same way. We can't circumvent that. We can't go around that. There's no other way. And that's why Jesus was very clear. And I know this breaks a lot of people's hearts. And I know this hurts a lot of people's feelings, like the LGBTQ community. But there is no way to the Father in heaven except through me, Jesus Christ. We were created through Christ, and we must come home through Christ. It's really that simple. And if you don't want to do it, it's your choice. You can live without God. That's fine. Not for you, but it is what it is. In love, he predestined us. What does that mean? That means through Christ, where we were created, because of L-O-V-E, the only reason that humans exist, he predestined us for what? For adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Let's stop right there. Through Christ, because of love, he created us to do something. And that something was predestined to be adopted into his holy, righteous kingdom through the same avenue that he created us. To be adopted, God came into the pound and said, I'll take that one, please. And we sat there in the arms of an angel, starving. No spiritual food whatsoever. You can see our ribs. Far away from me. God came in and picked us up and took us home. That's why he creates us. That's the whole reason. Ready for this? In him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Ready for this one? Making known to us the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. So, if you embrace this adoption, if you go home with your new Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you open up your arms and your hearts, then God will lavish you with wisdom and insight, making known the mystery of his entire will for our life. You don't ever have to wonder, why am I here? Why am I created? Why nobody loves me? Blah, blah. No, 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 no. The only people that matter in the universe do love you. And they're going to tell you things and reveal things to you that are reserved for VIP members. Don't you want to go from the pound to being a VIP? That's what I did. That's what most of you have done. It's incredible stuff. The mystery of his will, according to his purpose for us, which he set forth in Christ, Jesus, as a plan for the fulfillment of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. There's the meaning of life, and you've been adopted. Welcome to your new home, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you can reject the adoption. You can reject the kindness and the love and the unconditional love that God shows you. You can reject going home with him. You have the right to do that. And he loves and respects you so much that he wouldn't make you choose. He gives you the option. It's your choice. It is your choice. How rich are you? The book of Ephesians describes the spiritual blessings that are ours in life and in eternity. No book in the Bible makes us feel wealthier than the book of Ephesians. Here, God describes the inheritance that he has prepared for those on whom his grace has been richly lavished. That's us. And by the way, I think my daughter Shaylin is watching right now at home. And I pray that she is, so she can understand how much unconditional love I have for her. In light of our wealth, we should live like spiritually rich people. The last half of Ephesians tells us how to do that. Paul began this section by saying, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In other words, since we are called to a life of wealth and privilege, we need to live in a way that reflects our high status in Christ. Come to serve, not to be served. That requires no longer walking as the Gentiles do, and the futility of their minds, but walking in love as Christ also has loved us. We're to walk as children of the light, and we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, giving thanks always, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Look at all the great people saying things to Shaylin. Thank you for saying wonderful and blessed righteous things to my daughter, who I'm sure is watching right now. Most of us don't feel very rich, and earthly riches never satisfy us very long. But blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every, not some, but every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Let's live a privileged life like the children of a king, but in a very different way than what the world tells you. Oh, I ain't done. Oh, I ain't done. 1 Peter 1:21. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. And you have placed your faith and hope in God. Because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. Because of your faith, says Matthew 17:20, because your faith is much too small, what I'm about to tell you is true. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it is enough. You can say to a mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. That's what Philippians 4:13 says anyway. And then Galatians 5:6 tells us the important thing is faith. The kind of faith that works through love. You got to have faith, folks, that not only you are going to continue to receive God's blessings, God's guidance, and God's love, God's mercy and salvation and grace, but that you can take all of that that God gives you freely, package it up, put a nice little bow on it, and take it to somebody else who needs it and adopt them into our holy family. Because that's what we're doing, folks. We are one big, happy, holy family. One big, happy, holy family. The Zoo, do you have a new address yet so you can send my monthly donation to? It doesn't matter. You can send it to the old one. It'll make it here. But no, we do not have a new post office address yet. We will have one by the end of this week. But you can always send your stuff right to the other studio, and Eli will take care of it and send us any letters or cards that you have, or it'll get forwarded right to us as well. Either way, send away. Same address you always had. It'll happen. Thank you very much, by the way, for that, for thinking of us in a donation way. I really do appreciate that. Miranda says, Shaylin, I've been praying for you, sweetie. You've been on my mind for a while. Stay close to Jesus in every situation you face. He will never fail you and understands. Love you. Wow. What a great thing to say to my daughter. What a great thing to say to my wonderful, beautiful, loving and awesome daughter. And now, folks, I'm going to kind of take you out the same way I brought you in here. With some good worship music. Can we put that on? There it is. One more book here. You ready? My Savior God, I rejoice that you have clothed me with the garments of salvation. Your robe of righteousness is mine eternally. Because you are my Savior forever, your perfect righteousness can never be taken away from me. Not by anyone. Not anytime. Not anywhere. This means I don't need to be afraid of facing my sins. Or dealing with them even. As I become aware of my sin in my life, I can confess it and receive your forgiveness in full measure. Help me also to forgive myself. I know that self-hatred is very unhealthy for me, and it is a lie from the devil. And it is not pleasing to you, Father God. To avoid this hurtful snare, I'm learning to take many looks at you for every look I take at my sins and my failures. I delight in your assurance that I am precious in your sight. I'm adopted in your sight. I have unconditional love from you in your sight. I'm so thankful I don't have to prove my worth by trying to be good enough for you. You lived a perfect life on my behalf because you knew I could not do so. Now I want to live in this righteous freedom of being your fully forgiven follower, remembering that there's no condemnation for those who belong to you. In your forgiving name, Jesus. Amen. Wow. What a great show today, huh? So if you've been spiritually adopted as I have, and you've gone home with a great family of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then I want you to go out and adopt someone today. Go out and adopt somebody spiritually into our family. Tell them about the greatness of Jesus. Tell them about the joy they'll experience. Tell them about it all, because that's what we do. We spread the gospel, not gossip. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you so very much. And this time that you spend with me helps and guides me in ways you'll never know. And I hope it does the same for you. To my LFA family out there, God bless you. Keep God first place. I love you. To my actual family out there, you already know. I don't have to. What is understood need not be explained. I love you all. God bless you. Mike Crispy Unafraid starts next. And then 2 hours of Live from America after that. Have a great morning, everybody. See you later.